four different individuals, and just I asked them to be praying about things that they feel to share with us for wisdom for 2018, and there's a variety of different areas of life. So to start us off today, Victoria Weber is going to come and share with us.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm really thankful to Pastors Perry and Lois to get to share with you guys, very humbled by that, to get to share a few minutes what the Lord's been talking to me about. One of my biggest, like Elizabeth, I don't really want to say resolutions because I don't ever stick to resolutions, but one of the goals that I kind of have for life on an ongoing basis is to simplify things, and so that's what the Lord's been talking to me about. Are all of my plans to simplify. And I think probably a lot of you can relate to me in wanting to simplify our schedules, simplify my house, you know, the home, purge things, all of that. But in 2017, people are really busy. Like, people these days are just busy. A lot of times I've said I feel like an octopus with roller skates on. Like, I feel like just, that's how I feel. That's the visual in my head, is just like a mess, and they're all going in different directions. But at any given moment throughout the day, there's always at least probably 12 different thoughts, like to-do things running through my head. So my brain is always jumbled, and it sounds like this inside. It sounds like, what time do we need to be ready to go next? Did Bella find her jazz shoes? Did Jess have enough protein packed in her lunch? Are they taking too many dance classes? We should find a balance. When's the spelling bee? Did I pay the water bill? Where is the water bill? Oh, there's still four text messages I haven't responded to. I need to do that because I'm being so inconsiderate. My brakes are squeaking again. I have to remember to tell Andy to change my brake pads. I got to get those piles of empty boxes cleaned out of my office, but then we might need them to wrap presents, so I shouldn't do that. I'll just explain to the Help Me Grow workers when they come over, and we'll laugh it off. And what am I going to do about Marcus's behavior? I'm not cut out for parenting. I should read another parenting book. Where's that new book I bought? What time does the pharmacy close? What are we going to have for dinner? When can I get to the grocery? Should I go in Kroger, or should I use ClickList? And the answer to that is always use ClickList. Always use ClickList. But I don't, if you guys can relate to that, just that constant barrage of thoughts. Now, obviously, we have four young kids at home, so that probably, it could just be the stage of life we're in that keeps us so busy, but I don't think that's all of it. I think people now are just, busyness has become more of a cultural thing, and there's some really interesting articles actually on busyness being like a status symbol in the United States, which is, it's really disturbing, but I don't have time to talk about that. So look it up. But I'm always thinking about, okay, how am I supposed to get my big girls where they need to be and keep the twins from killing each other and keep food on the table and keep my heart, like take care of myself and still keep my heart alive to God, right? And there's irony here because when I start planning how to simplify things, it gets more complicated. Because does anybody make lists? Like a lot. I love my list. My lists keep me sane, but sometimes I make lists of lists, and then I think if I compare my lists and I, like, you know, I can cross this off and I can, I just, and I get really excited, but if a time slot does open up in my calendar, a lot of times it's filled right away with something else, and then a little bit of condemnation can try and seep in because, and hear me now, because even trying to do something good can become a burden if we're trying to do it in our own strength. And so I end up feeling frustrated, thinking, I don't get this, God, like I've done the best I can. I'm trying every day to manage things, and I have no peace. I have no joy a lot. And so I ask him all the time, how can I do everything I need to do and still feel like I'm simplifying? And do you want to know what he tells me, what the answer is? I can't. Say it with me. Say, I can't. I can't. But I have a secret, and the secret is that Jesus can. So I want you to say with me, I can't, but Jesus can. I can't, but Jesus can. Right. There's a quote that says, when we continually put God first, all other things either fall into their proper place or they drop out of our lives. Matthew 6:33, that's on the screen, says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Truth is, God will bring the opportunities and activities that we're meant to have into our lives, and then he'll also let us know when it's time to let certain things go. And people ask me all the time, well, I don't get that. How am I supposed to know what God wants me to do? How do I know? And I think, well, that's pretty simple, really. If you're in communion with God, he talks to me through that still small voice. And really, what he's been teaching me over the last several years is just to follow peace. And that's it. Like, it's literally that simple. And so that's what he wanted me to share today, is that simplifying isn't something that I need to fret about or feel pressured to do, really, because if I'm in close relationship with the Lord, he'll guide me. And when I sit in prayer about a certain circumstance or a situation or an activity or my daughter competing in dance or something, but if when I really pray about it or even just sit in silence and think about it, one of two things will happen every single time. The first is that there'll be a peace in my spirit, or the opposite is that there'll be some kind of unrest. You know, it'll be either I picture myself in this circumstance and I'm praying and there'll be like an anxiety or a dread or like an overwhelmed spirit or something. You know what I mean? There'll be an unrest, and it's one or the other. And it really is that simple. And so if it's peace, we have to follow peace, whatever direction that will be. And it's not always what makes sense to our flesh, and it's not always what we want to do. Romans 8:5 says, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance to the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The Lord, catching myself saying, Alan, have you, I know, have you ever closed your eyes or been blindfolded by somebody and had them lead you by the hand? You know, when you're blindfolded, how does that feel? Right? It's like, it never feels good. Even if it's the person I trust the most, it's uncomfortable. But in preparing for this, it really, like, I would truly rather be led blindly by the Holy Spirit every single day than try to navigate life by myself with my eyes wide open. Like, that's it, is listening to him and following where he wants. And so my nugget for the new year, for me and for you, is to stop fretting and striving and worrying and trying to figure life out in our own strength. Because 2018 might be really busy again. It might. Or it might be a year of rest and rejuvenation for you. But I don't really think it matters, as long as God is at the helm and we're following him, making him the first thing we see in the morning before Facebook or the news or even our families sometimes. Seeking him first and seeking wisdom and discernment above all else. I think, you know, I want to practice listening for, not only listening for that voice, but responding to it right away. In Proverbs 2, I'm going to read just these are excerpts from verses 1 through 11, but it's not all of it. It says, my son, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as silver and search for it as hidden treasure, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Then you will understand every good path. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. I loved that passage. And so I guess for today, my goal and my challenge for myself and for you is just to find time to close our eyes more often and really get quiet before the Lord and dial into him and just listen for his voice and be led by him in 2018.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. Before we start, she's going to be mad at me later, but I can deal. My wife is sitting right over there, and my wife has been dealing with some health issues in the recent past, and we're not really sure what's going on. But I know there's a bunch of praying people here, and I've been praying for her and all that, but I also believe in corporate the value and the strength of corporate prayer. And so if the group of praying people that are right over there will just turn around and put your hands on her, please. And everybody else just kind of do one of these. All right. All right. This morning she actually slipped getting into the truck as well. And so that's not good. So dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this woman you've put in my life. And I thank you that you put her in my life. And Father God, I know that I'm better with her. And Father God, I know that your kingdom is better with her. And Father, I just ask for you to restore her, her health, her peace of mind, and her back. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Now I'm going to stop doing this. I'm going to start doing this. All right? Okay. When I was in high school, I was a straight-A student who earned solid C's and D's. Okay? So you can imagine... You can imagine my shock when Pastor Perry asked if I would share some wisdom going into 2018, okay? But I do thank you for the opportunity to do so. Before we get into what I'm going to talk about, let's go over some basic facts. Just make sure we're all on the same page here, okay? We were all made in God's image, true? All right. We are to imitate, be imitators, emulate Jesus Christ. True? All right, fantastic. And even Jesus said that greater things than these will be done after I've gone. Also true? Okay, very good. We're all on the same page. Our hearts were made to be breakable. They were designed that way. It's not a flaw. It's actually in the design of us that our hearts are made to be breakable. Okay? So, how many times in the Bible are there stories about Jesus' compassion? How many? Anybody? I don't know either. C's and D's, okay? C's and D's. I don't know how many either, but I will tell you this. Every time that Jesus says, or it's said of Jesus, that his heart was broken, or that he had compassion for them, it is never followed by a but. Jesus had compassion on them, but he was running late for temple, and so he couldn't do anything about it. It's always followed by an action, okay? By Jesus. It's always followed by an action. For example, okay, when the lepers came to him, and he had compassion for them, he wasn't... You know, I feel so sad for them. I feel so sad. Now I'm just heartbroken. But I'm powerless. But I'm unable to do anything about it. Okay? And he touched them. And they were healed. That's the way the story ends. Okay? Now, there's a cost to having a broken heart and following that with an action. Okay? Might be money. Maybe. It'll definitely mean some of your time. Right, Victoria? It'll definitely mean some of your time. It might cost you a spare bedroom in your house for 3 months. Right? And it might even cost you some of your reputation. Oh. It certainly did for Jesus. All right? The alternative to just having our hearts broken by situations and things that we see and people in need and whatever and not doing anything about it, not no action following the broken heart, is basically just 7 billion sad sacks roaming the earth. Okay? And that's not at all what God's plan was in doing that. God's plan in giving us breakable hearts is that, you know, we're not the only ones who get to have. We're not the only ones who get to know Jesus. We're not the only ones who get to know Christ's love. Okay? Just like the hand you drew earlier. I don't know if she's still, yeah, there she is. Yes, we are to be the hands and the feet of Christ here on earth. You know, we know the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. Not everybody has and knows the Holy Spirit, okay? And so they're not going to necessarily know the love that does exist and that is available, all right? About 1 year ago, I was up here sharing, probably on some nugget for 2017, and I brought one of these up with me. I'm going to revisit this just a little bit because there's a new audience, and I've got a microphone. And I think it's pretty good, all right? This water bottle was not designed to contain water, all right? If by the, believe it or not, they have an expiration date, if by the expiration date of this bottle, It still has water. It has failed in its purpose. We have an expiration date. It's not so conveniently stamped on us, but we do have an expiration date. Okay? And my question is, from December 31st, 2016 to December 31st, 2017, are you more or less empty than you were before? And by December 31st, 2017, do you want to be more or less empty than you were before? Because the purpose of this bottle is only to pour the water out. The purpose of that we have isn't to contain Jesus. It isn't to contain the Holy Spirit. It isn't to contain God's love. It is only to pour it out. That's all, really all I've got to say. So with that, I'm going to introduce Holly.
Good morning. Okay. Thank you, guys. I'm kind of undone. This is all so very awesome. I feel like, yes, I'm going to get emotional, that we already have gotten so much wisdom through worship, through everything that's been shared. And sometimes, every once in a while, I have this, I don't know what it is from God, this welling up inside of me to express something, and I know it's important. So, with that being said, I love what was said this morning about love. And I love all of you. And you know, some of you might say, well, you don't even know me. I've never been here before. But the Bible teaches us to pray for all the saints at all times with all kinds of prayers and supplications. So we can actually have relationship through that, you know, without even really connecting with someone. It's just a Holy Spirit thing. So needed to say that. So first I'll give you something. I love this because I get to piggyback off of what's already been shared, and it all goes together, and that's the Holy Spirit. But I'll give you something to be thankful for. I had an ADD morning. I don't know if any of you ever have that. But you didn't have to be there when I was in the shower singing my version of, I don't know why. Why do songs come in your head? Of Tutti Frutti O Rudy. And the second one was, Let's Go Do the Hop. Tell me where that came from. I have no idea. But I turned it. It was sanctified. I turned it into my version. So let's go do the hop for Jesus, all that stuff. So anyway, you didn't have to be there, so now you have something to be thankful for. So there's that. Okay. Well, maybe God means for us to be undone sometimes, because what we think should be turns a totally different way somewhere else and ends up being something that we didn't think it would be. So I'm just going to try to share out of my heart, which thank you guys for sharing out of your hearts, because that was love in action to pray for Jeremy's wife. You know, we're putting it, and that goes with what I feel. What I felt like God wanted me to share with you guys was that this year we need to put action to our faith if we haven't already, because each and every single one of us are called to do something. We're called with a destiny. They're all going to look different. None of them's going to look the same. Don't look at your neighbor and say, you look like me, because you don't. We all have a fingerprint that nobody else has. And so finding out what your fingerprint is, I mean, that can happen all throughout the year. But like at a lot of businesses, at this time of year, they take inventory, you know, to see what they have and what they need to have. And that's my challenge to you, is just to take, how do you do that? I'm going to get mixed around here, so bear with me while I go left and right and who knows which way. The hand that turns in every direction, Shiloh. I'm just going to read a couple scriptures. James 2:17. In the same way, faith by itself is not accompanied by action, it is dead. So I don't know. Oh, Angie, you're so awesome. I'm just going to describe a picture I had, and you don't have to put it up, Angie. It was a bridge. There it is. Okay, this bridge looks scary. Okay, we can't really see what's on the other side. For all we know, there could be a pile of Snickers bars on the other side when we get there. You know, and that would be so hard, wouldn't it? I mean, so I love to watch YouTube videos, pray for me, I know. But there's some really neat things out there. One of them was people that have never seen color. They're colorblind completely. Okay, so they get these glasses and they put them on, and most of them start to cry when they put them on. Okay, and the song we heard this morning, "You're a Good, Good Father," I could barely contain myself because he is so good. Like, even when we're not paying any attention, he just shows up, taps us on his shoulder. There's his presence. We know we're loved. It's taken me years to understand that, but he loves us. Well, it's like putting those glasses on. If we can see what God's calling us to through the glasses he wants us to wear. While they were singing that song this morning, I was feeling God's heart saying, I want you to see you like I see you. If you can see you like I see you and know how much I love you, you're not going to be afraid to step out on that bridge. You're going to know you can't fail. Is your destiny going to be scary or harder? I don't know. It might be, but I can tell you this. I know he's there, and I know he's a good father, and I know he's faithful, so you can't lose. Just, you can't lose. We're all learning to trust him together. Okay, so I'll go back to my notes. There, I did good. I strayed from my notes. Okay. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And I put, God is on the move, and we need to follow him daily. Okay, so how do we do that? What about if we don't believe? Well, the Bible says he gives us a way of escape from every temptation. It says, do you remember when you heard the prayer in the Bible, Lord, I believe, but even so, help my unbelief. He will. He will help your unbelief. He'll help you get there. Okay, so what I felt encouraged to tell you is to let God take inventory. Just sit down, get a pen, get a paper, and say, okay, God, what do you, just like Victoria said, she feels like the octopus with the skates. Let him show you. Now, I can hear someone else say, I won't hear him. What if I don't hear him? How do I know if I'm hearing him right? I ask those questions too. I do. I get scared because I'm not sure if it's him, and what if I mess up, and this and that and the other. And then once he showed me that double-mindedness can be a spirit. I'm not talking about demon hunter, demon possession. I'm talking about a spirit that influences us. Double-minded is he showed me a picture of a seesaw, and one side was fear and one side was intimidation. And they were seesawing back and forth to get that double-mindedness to happen. So if you're experiencing intimidation or fear, you're probably on a right track somewhere. And you can't get into agreement with it. You have to go, mm-mm. God's word says, and that's why it's so important, how do we have faith? How do we put our action to faith? That is Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, this is the Bible, which is the logos, the written word of God, but it's also the spoken, which is the rhema word of God, where you're just sitting in his presence, and you hear him tell you something. Don't seize up in fear, just write it down, and then he will help you know what good things to lay down, bad things to lay down, what friends to... All that instruction can come from him, because if we ask him, we're going to be on the right track, right? I can't sort all that out myself. I'm the list person too, Victoria. I get myself in trouble, so. Okay. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. Is there anybody out here that's leaned to their own understanding and it got you in trouble? In all your ways, acknowledge him. He'll direct your paths. So, trust in what he says and start to act on it. Okay. So, I love this scripture, Hebrews 11:3. This is so cool. By faith, we understand the worlds were fashioned or framed by the word of God. By faith. Through faith. And these things that are seen came into being out of the things which aren't seen. Doesn't make any sense to this melon. You know what I mean? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We can't see it. It's hard to understand the substance of it. And that's why it's like not being able to see like that bridge, stepping out there. So that's my encouragement. I know I had a lot more I was thinking of, but I can't think of it right now. So there you go. I'm over 40. And so the next wonderful person is a Tom. I just found out, Tom Milligan. I'm sure you'll hear some good jokes. God bless all of you in 2018.
I got to tell you, this morning reminds me of the Bible verse that many were cold, but few were frozen, right? Sorry. First of all, a personal ministry. Today is the leaders. Today it's the fifth Sunday, so just want to do a little bit of housekeeping. So, I asked Pastor Perry, and thank you for letting me talk. You're my pastor, but you're also my friends. So thank you. Just kind of wanted to tell our story, if we could. We've been around this church for a long time, and we've come a long way. When Myra and I were first married, we had a piece of paneling up against the front window for a year because we couldn't afford curtains. And maybe some of you have been around long enough to remember those days, you know, that that kind of stuff happened. I'm talking about stepping out. The word that we have is expand. So if that's the one word you can take away from today, it's expand. That and don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. I had a good job, trimming head lettuce. I know that doesn't sound like a good job, but it was a pretty good job. And I decided that I needed to do something different. And the something different was with a wife, two kids, and a mortgage. I decided, and Myra and I prayed, and we decided that I was to leave that steady job in a grocery store. Everybody's always got to eat. And go on the road, straight commission. No safety nets. With a wife, two kids, and a mortgage. Now, if you want your faith stretched, I would encourage you to hear God first. Yes, before you do that. There were several times, though, where I'd spent more money buying gas and buying food than I had made working. And there were some days I didn't want to go to work, and she would, encourage me out the front door to go to work. I'd leave the house Monday morning at about 7, 8 o'clock, and I wouldn't get home till Thursday night. And that was just my normal schedule. And like I say, some weeks I come home and make less money than I'd spent. I wanted something different. Tired of traveling, tired of being on the road. And so we had our kids at the Christian school at the time, and I happened to be on the board at the Christian school, and I was talking to the principal about, hey, I want something different. And he told me about somebody that had a position. It happened to be insurance, happened to be local. So cool. So I go talk to him, but it's not what I thought it should be. Well, I had a brother that was in a position to know something, and so I called my brother, who called somebody else, who called somebody else, and found out, really, that's not what you want, but what you want is over here. And basically what we heard was God's holding the spot for us. And that's when my nationwide career was born, in 1981. We were in our location, and we'll bring this all together toward the end when you'll see what I'm talking about. But again, it's our story. The building that we're currently in, we started working on that, and Jack Luss, Dr. Luss, the veterinarian, owned it. And we were trying to hammer out a deal and trying to hammer out a deal, and we just couldn't get it to work. And finally, they told us to go away, that this isn't for you. And Dale Kibbe, some of you know him, he's a good Christian man here in town, and he was working with us as the realtor trying to figure it out. And this was like June or July of 2001, I believe, something like that. And he said that Walgreens is going to come, and they're going to buy this whole corner, and you don't have enough money. So you might as well go away. Okay, so we did. Well, about 4 or 5 months later, I happened to notice the building's still sitting there empty. So I called my friend Dale Kibbe and I said, hey, I hear that building is still available. Yeah, well, that kind of fell through, and then he came. I said, well, can we start talking again? And he said, sure. Well, we got done. Well, guess what? We got in the building, And I want to tell you how creative God is, because we went to the closing, and I don't know if you know Jonathan Williamson here in town, but he's a lawyer that's closed probably as much real estate as anybody in town. And we went to sit down with him, and that's how much money Myra and I put into that building to start. Matter of fact, we walked away from the closing with a check. The check was enough to pay the first year's insurance on the building, and I still had $50 to go out to dinner with my wife. Jonathan Williamson, the attorney, looked at me and he said, "How did you do this?" I just told him it was a God deal. I told Dale Kibbe, because God had told Myra all along that that's our building. Dale Kibbe was funny. He said, "Well, why didn't you tell me?" The deal was dead. In 2003, you know, Nationwide has these levels where you can achieve levels of awards and different things. And there was another agency that was the possibility of me merging with mine. But I had never reached a level of production. It was basically a one-man show. It was very hard to reach. And in 2003, I had never reached it. And by October of 2003, of course, you know, everything has to be done by December, because then it's too late for anything to get in. So by October of 2003, it wasn't happening. I wasn't even close to any of the numbers that I needed in order to be able to qualify to buy this other agency. Well, in the month of October, both things happened that had to happen. The biggest life case I had ever written, one of the biggest commercial cases I'd ever written, thanks to my friend Gary Ellis. And by November, we had the deal done. We were able to get the merger with the other agency. And Alan, was that a good thing? Yeah. It was a good thing, wasn't it? But again, it was impossible in October. But it was done in November. Only about 5% of agencies were able to do all that stuff. We had the opportunity a few years later to, do we want half of another agency or you want to do the whole thing? And I said, well, we're going to do the whole thing. Let's just go ahead and do the whole thing. What I want to talk about mainly is expand. I want to start with some basic things. And Jeremy, thanks for plowing the ground for me, because I've got a lot of the same stuff you do and Holly and Victoria. This, honest, we did not talk to each other. I didn't talk to you guys. Do you guys talk? God's good. God owns everything. That's in the Bible. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The heavens are yours and also the earth. Like Jeremy, are going to start with some basic premises. We all agree with that, right? Yeah. Be imitators of God. We love because he first loved us. Be holy, for I am holy. This is how we're to imitate God. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. Be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Okay? We're to be imitators of God. Not lie, because God never lies. These are the ways that we're supposed to imitate God. Well, there's a Bible verse that talks about enlarge the place of your tent. To stretch out your curtains wide. Don't hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you'll spread out to the right and to the left. I'm here. I want to encourage you. That as Holly said, seek God, find out where he's at. And I'm going to tell you, he will call you into sometimes things that don't look like they make sense. He will call you into some things that the deals are dead. But somehow, Myra knew that thing was going to come back to life. And it's been a blessing. About 2000, what year did Caleb move back to Ohio? 2010, 11, 12? Anyway, in my business, it's important to be able to try to get a successor. You know, you work your whole life to build something, and you don't want to just turn the keys over to some yahoo. Yep. Just be frank with you. You just don't. You know, because these are your friends. They're your customers. They're this. And you want to be careful who you want your people to do business with. You got to trust somebody. You know, I've poured my life into that place. Well, Caleb moved back to Ohio. Caleb is Alan Douse, Alan and Kathy Douse's son. And we had no idea at the time. He was just coming back because he wanted to be here because of his family. Neither one of us had any idea that when God was putting some things together, we had no clue. I've been an agent for about 36 years with Nationwide, okay? In all that 36 years, only a couple of times have they allowed the agent to have any say in who their successor was. And when I started, there were guys that were finishing up their 30-year career. And they never had any say in who their successor was. I'm going back 60 years. Guess what they did about 3 years ago? They come out and said, okay, guys, if you're of a certain size, we're going to let you nominate a successor. Well, guess what? Because of the impossible that happened back in October of 2003, which allowed me to do some things which put us in position for a half an agency or the whole thing, okay? Put us in position for that. Guess what? We just happened to be that size. I know it's a coincidence. God wasn't involved at all. But we were able to nominate that successor, and we've been able to carry it through. And I've told him if my kids weren't going to do it, Caleb's almost like a nephew to me. It's just been the hand of God has been so involved. And I want to tell you, if you've got things right now that look like are a little bit questionable, look like things maybe aren't working out, hang in there. The key is finding where God's at. I know when our oldest daughter wanted to go to college, she wanted to go to Taylor. And if I don't know if you know, but Taylor is kind of an expensive school. And quite frankly, we didn't have the money. And we were praying about it. And I felt like God asked me a question. And the question was, is it my will that your daughter goes here? Well, I've learned a long time ago that you don't always answer God immediately. So I stewed on that for about 2 weeks. And I finally came to the conclusion. I finally agreed, yes, I believe it's God's will that she go there. And then instantly the answer came back to me, well, then the money's not your problem. To this day, she graduated. We had no debt. I still don't know how we did it. Honest, good, don't know how we did it, you know. But God is good. The key is finding where's God. The key is not figuring out how you're going to do it. Be imitators of God. He owns everything. He's proud of us when we expand. Because that's what he does. You know, they just figured out, the scientists, that the universe is still expanding at a rate faster than they thought it was. God's got to make room for his kingdom, right? So, at any rate, finally in 2008, we were able to put together the biggest deal of my career. Still, to this day, it's the biggest deal. Enabled me to hire a bunch of extra people and do a bunch of extra things. And the way insurance agencies are measured is the premium coming in the front door, in case you're wondering. Well, when all this started in 2003, our premium coming in the front door, of course, we don't get to keep all of it. We only get to keep a little piece of it, was $1.3 million, which is okay for a one-man shop to have that kind of premium. But by 2010, it was up to $9 million. Now, if you want to do the arithmetic, that's a sevenfold increase. Isn't that a good number? God kind of likes the number seven. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 24:16 that a righteous man falls seven times, but he gets back up again. Okay. Jericho, do you remember that? They marched around it for how many days? Once a day? 6 days? Right? And then on the seventh day, how many times did they march around it? Seven. What if they, so that's 6 and 7 is 13, right? Public school? Y'all agree 6 and 13? What if they'd have stopped at 12? I don't see anything happening. Those walls are the same as they were before. There's nothing going on. And they stopped at 12? No, we have to keep pressing in. What's God told you to do? That's the factor. That's what needs to be done. A couple years ago, I worked on a pretty good sized deal too and thought God was in it. Turns out we didn't get it. Is that okay? You betcha that's okay. Because stepping out in faith, as Holly's bridge showed, we don't know what's on the other side. I know, but God's there. And he's going ahead of us to make a path. Expand. I've counted, and I just count 10, at least 10 major times where God has miraculously intervened in our lives on major things that were dead or dying, and he still brought things back. And things still happened even after they were impossible. I love when I left the first company to come to work for Nationwide, when I left the Straight Commission to come to work for Nationwide, it's kind of funny. The guy told me I was a mediocre agent. Anyway, it's okay. You can leave. I always enjoyed that. I still enjoy that to this day. So, where are we at? Okay. Anyway, encouragement is expand your tent pegs. Expand. Look for what God wants to do. Be an imitator of God. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Be an imitator of him. Take risks. But take the risk that you believe God is leading you into. Don't take a risk just because you want to take a risk. Take a risk because God, you believe God is leading you into something. And I firmly believe that even if we're wrong, he's still there. He's still there. And if you're under pressure, that doesn't mean you've missed God. It doesn't mean you've missed God if things are going wrong. You keep doing what you believe God's called you to do, and it'll be okay. Even if it's not, it'll be okay. Expand. Thank you.